We've got you covered. CCFM is everywhere. Everywhere.
It's business made simple with Bizval, exclusively on In Season.
Right, it is the time of the month. Graham is back. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Morning, Saki. Great, thanks. Good to be back again. Mm-hmm. And you can see it's warming up a little bit, getting towards spring. So
yeah.
Great time of the year. Thanks for having us again.
It's always a pleasure. And I see that you're not alone today. Talk us through who we have today.
Absolutely. So today we're going to be talking to probably the coolest and most edgy accountant that I know, Jean-Luc Johnston. Jean-Luc, I think we'll call him JL.
Okay.
Jean-Luc sounds cooler, but JL is the founder of Thread Advisory. And I guess he's what we would call a digital nomad.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we're talking to him today is, you know, we often talk about businesses, and I think, you know, starting a business can be quite intimidating. You think about, you know, all these employees, and, you know, we've gone quite technical in the past. But JL is someone who's building a business around his lifestyle rather than his life around his business.
And
it's something that many people are doing nowadays. You know, after COVID, a lot of people, they called it the great resignation. And I think JL kind of encapsulates that. And we're going to ask him to share a little bit about his journey today.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have you join us in studio. Welcome. How are you doing?
Yeah, thanks, Saki. Thanks, Graham. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure.
Excited to be here.
Love it.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, we were chatting before the show, and we're expecting great things. So, JL, I mean, apparently you come from a lineage of radio superstars, apparently. So, I mean, it's not your first rodeo, well, certainly from a family point of view. I mean, so maybe just share a little bit about, you know, your family background in radio. So.
Yeah, sure. So, my dad's lived his life in radio, been at some of the big stations around the country. Started off in the newsroom down in at Good Hope FM, and I think he's made his way up through the ranks through OFM, Kaya, Classic, LM Radio. So he's been involved in quite a bit and running radio stations around the country. My sister also spent time at YFM in their marketing department. So definitely some radio lineage. I don't know if any of that's actually seeped through to me. Let's see.
Well, we're here today, so
exactly. So we'll let the listeners be the judge today.
My dad's probably proud that I'm finally following in his footsteps.
we're gonna have to get a copy of the podcast through to him. So JL, I mean, I think you know, maybe if you would give our listeners just a brief introduction. Who's Jean-Luc?
Perfect. Yeah. So I'm currently 34, a proud dog dad of two rescue pit bulls. I was born in Belgium, but grew up in SA, mostly between Cape Town and Bloem.
So that's where the Jean-Luc came from. It's
exactly,
Belgian heritage.
That's it. My family all stays in Joburg at the moment. So that's my mom, my dad, my twin sister, my older sister, her husband, and my two nieces. Growing up, I think I was quite into sports and mainly basketball and hockey when I was at school. Now I'm more of a paddle and pickleball player.
Yeah.
So I've transitioned in that department. I studied accounting at UCT and then became a chartered accountant in 2014 and then went into corporate finance, where I've spent most of my professional life.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a tattoo enthusiast. And
can tell.
We're on radio, not on TV. Yeah?
And I always try to find ways to stimulate the right side of my brain. For instance, I started learning fashion design in 2022, and I recently just finished making my first collared shirt from scratch. So that was quite a feat.
Wow, yeah.
But I think fundamentally I'm someone who loves understanding how things work, and I value exploration and development.
Fantastic. Yeah. So, I mean, as you said, you're a chartered accountant by training. You know, you speak about your hobbies. I mean, there's some other things you didn't talk about, your scuba diving, your music, all of that. So clearly you've got a very you know, I guess we could say creative accountant, to use a much overused, what do you call it, pun?
Or not, yeah, but that's pun. A lot of bad connotations.
Exactly. But I think, you know, can you maybe just share a little bit about, you know, for you, you know, how important has it been to explore all aspects of your personality, particularly the creative side? You know, we, you know, people love to box people and say, so and so is an accountant or so and so is a radio presenter. Mm. But, you know, for you, that's obviously very, very important. So can you talk a bit about why that creativity is important, your vision around that, and why it's important not as an individual to box those elements of yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. So I think all the things I rattled off before were not necessarily who I am, but just things that I like or things that I do. It's quite, it's both all of who I am and also none of who I am as a person. But my interests are very vast. So I think allowing myself time and space to explore these interests has made me more adaptable and relatable, which is a massive benefit when I'm working with entrepreneurs across the globe. Mm. I've also really seen the benefit when it comes to problem solving in business. So when I'm spending time with the sewing machine, trying to figure out how to sew a box pleat on a shirt, or writing out finger charts for saxophone because I can't read sheet music, I think that's really given me the ability to stretch my muscles when it comes to problem solving in a business sense as well. When I'm trying to build a model or trying to do a deal, I think having that other side of things and how you think around things and understand things gives you an ability to also apply that in the business world. And I think that's why it's been so important for me to always explore those kind of things.
Yeah,
and I think, look, I believe it's important to bring all of who you are into every facet of life because it enables you to be the best version of yourself. So it's important to not just be an accountant when I'm at work and be a different person when I'm at home, but to make sure that I'm always being me in everything I'm doing.
Fantastic. You know, I think maybe we should have introduced you as an artist who does a little bit of accounting on the side.
Yeah.
That might have been a more apt description. So, you know, we've spoken a little bit about who you are, what's important to you. And I love that, you know, you've got to bring your whole self to every engagement. You know, I think that's obviously like why we connected is, you know, people speak about authenticity, but, you know, I think you absolutely live it in every single engagement. You know, you walk into a room and people just like can't help but engage with you. And I'm sure that served you well. As you say, you're dealing with clients, not just in South Africa, but across the world. So understanding that diversity is fantastic. But can you share a little bit about your journey so far? So, you know, talking about your career, in the early part, you kind of had to play by the rules. You know, you're a qualified chartered accountant. You had to do your articles. You had to do all those things. But at what point did you decide you wanted to sort of chart a different path? So in other words, moving from sort of that structured permanent employment to something a little bit more, let's shall we say, tailor-made for you. So maybe you can just talk, Jean-Luc, just about that early part of the journey. You know, what did you enjoy? What did you learn through that? And then why did you shift?
Yes, for sure. So I did my articles at Moore in Cape Town, and that really laid the foundation for me both in terms of what I enjoyed doing, working with entrepreneurs, and also showed me that it was okay to be different. I think through school and university, you're always told that the blueprint is study hard, get good marks, get a good job, and how you need to act when you're in the working world. So in my early years during articles, I definitely felt the pressure to conform. But there was one very important conversation I had with a manager where he basically just told me that I'll never get the best out of this experience if I don't just allow myself to be me. And I think that really sat with me and it changed my outlook on work and what that meant. I then moved to London after articles and I had this grand 5-year plan. And very quickly that didn't really work out the way I was intending. And that really started me on the path of thinking more about what are the experiences I want to gain as opposed to what ladder I wanted to climb. And it was really only after COVID when I moved back from Dublin where I made a tangible shift in thinking about putting life before work. I had enough of the 80-hour weeks, sacrificing holidays, weekends with family and friends, all for the deadlines. Up until that point, the last 10 years of my life had been documented on timesheets, hour for hour, and I just couldn't function like that anymore. I think I've only been doing my own thing for about 9 months now, so it's all still very new. But what I was wanting was the ability to design my own way of working. But also, I think I needed the confidence to feel that I had built up enough credible experience to be able to bring value to people. And that's probably why it took me maybe a bit longer. I'm a risk-averse person by nature. But I think your experiences through COVID, being overseas and coming back, just gave me clarity on what's more important for me.
I mean, I think that's there's so many lessons wrapped up into that. You know, I mean, I think in today's sort of instant gratification culture, like there is a move afoot to say, you know, worry about university or don't worry about studying further or don't worry about that. Just go and follow your dreams and your passions. But I think the big lesson in what you're saying is actually, you know, those things are important still. You know, it may not be for everybody, but if you have the opportunity to do that, it grounds you. It gives you a very solid foundation. And but at the same time, you know, you're constantly sort of thinking, okay, how can I do things differently? You know, so I don't think you're advocating to anyone to just kind of quit your studies because you,
definitely not.
You want to go and backpack the world. But and I think the way you kind of explain that, I think also, Jean-Luc, you know, you talk about certain events. You know, like COVID was a tragedy for many, but it also allowed us to think about things differently. The world, in some ways, reset. You know, so your career so far has taken you across the world. You know, so you've been to the UK, you've been to Ireland, you've had clients in the US, South Africa. You've even been to Albania. So you genuinely are a true digital nomad, so to speak. Can you share with our listeners kind of what a typical day in the life of Jean-Luc looks like? You know, so what do you do on a typical day? How do you think about your day? How do you plan your time and your sort of your workload?
Yeah, so I think the fun thing for me is that no 2 days are the same. Although most days will start with the morning walking the dogs with my partner. From there, it all depends on what do I need to get done. So usually I look at the week ahead, try to figure out what are the key things that, that need to be done for that week. And then what are some of the important things outside of work that I want to be doing? Maybe I have a friend down from overseas that's on holiday. Okay, I can make time whichever morning to spend some time with them. Or recently I've been going to the sound bath at Virgin Active on a Monday afternoon, just doing some meditation or playing paddle at 11 o'clock in the morning. So I think you know,
so you're one of those guys where I drive past Claremont at 11 o'clock playing paddle.
That's me. And so I think the important thing for me around work is structuring it around what do I need to deliver to my clients, and then having the ability to decide how and when I do that. And it's not about showing up for 8 hours a day or being available all the time. It's about what are the important things that I want to do this week, who are the people that I want to see and spend time with, and then how do I fit what I'm working on in and around that.
I mean, that it sounds like the dream job, or job's the wrong word, the dream lifestyle, I guess, you know. But you know, I guess it's not all sort of sunshine and roses. You know, so you know, when we talk about being this kind of digital nomad, so to speak, what are some of the best parts about it? And then what are some of the harder parts, you know, and how do you deal with this sort of, you know, some of the challenges? I mean, you spoke a little bit about being very outcomes focused and that, but maybe you can talk about, like, you know, on days when you wake up and say, oh, this is wonderful, what sort of inspires you about it? And then what are some of the challenges or things you need that everyone kind of needs to think about before they embark upon this path?
Yeah, so I think I'm just going to switch around and start with some of
the harder things.
The harder things. For me as a person, I think I get my energy from people. And so making the shift, that was one of the biggest things I was worried about. How do I do this by myself but still be around people in a team environment? So that was the most difficult part of it. I think also having to rely solely on yourself is very difficult. When you are not working, it could feel quite overwhelming that you're not making money or doing something of value. So I think getting comfortable with that took some time. But I have got a local client here that has a team that sits in Cape Town, so that's how I've sort of solved that piece of the puzzle for myself. I think outside of that, it's understanding what it is you want to achieve. Mm-hmm. So, do I want to make a lot of money? Do I want to have more time for friends and family? And then, what am I willing to sacrifice for the things that I want? Mm. And then building my business around that.
Yeah.
So if it's I want to be spending more time with friends and family or have free time to do different things and explore different areas, then I've got to be sacrificing something on the money side. So not just chasing clients and building a big business. Mm. And so it's really understanding what it is you want from this lifestyle.
Mm.
And so I think some of the really nice things is I can be chatting to my dad at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday and just having a conversation and not just calling because there's an emergency.
Mm.
Or like I said earlier, seeing friends when they're down from overseas in the middle of the day and just having freedom to plan around those kind of things. So I'm not missing out on important things with people.
Yeah.
Just having more time for the people that I want to be around.
Yeah.
Often I'm too busy, I haven't seen anyone in 2 to 3 weeks, work's really hectic, I work all day, I'm tired at night, you know, I don't want to be in those kind of positions anymore. I want to be able to take opportunities, to see people, to do things, but then also have the business side flowing in and around.
Of course, yeah.
And how do your clients deal with that? So, I mean, it's well and good to say, okay, you know, is that a question of you finding clients who kind of share that same sort of philosophy? How do you deal with clients? And because they do have deadlines still, they do have all those things. So how do you manage that?
I think setting the expectations up front clearly is to what am I delivering? What do they need from the service? And then communicating regularly about delays or issues or those kind of things. I think if everyone sets their expectations up front, it's very easy to manage those kind of things. But one thing you mentioned was finding clients that I want to work with. It's one thing just having a lot of clients, but I also want to be spending time with people that I want to be around. I like their business. I like who they are as people. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very important for me to find that. I don't just want to work with anyone. I want to work with people that have a similar mindset, that are building businesses, wealth for their family, and they understand where I'm coming from, what I'm providing, and I also understand who they are as people. So I think once you have that and the communication and expectations are clearly aligned, it becomes a lot easier to manage.
Yeah, so I mean, it's the basics, you know, it's around communication, around clear boundary setting. And I do like that point, is like when people are starting business, often they're so desperate to bring in the money because that's the sole focus, that they take on all sorts of clients. You know, I mean, even if you think about you know, a radio station, for instance, you've got a particular audience that you're talking to. So you craft your message to that. And if there's somebody sitting in Austin, Texas who doesn't like CCFM, it's okay. You know, that's not who you're targeting. So exactly. I think selecting your clients is really, really important. So I want to just talk a little bit about your journey. You know, obviously you've had some influences in your life and your business journey. You spoke a little bit about a conversation you had, which kind of shifted your thinking a few years back. But who's been your biggest inspiration on this journey and why? I mean, it could be one person or people or, you know, things that have happened. What's kind of inspired you along the way?
Yes, there's definitely one person that stands out. That was one of the partners at Moore, who I worked for 5 years, Andrew Pitt. I think he made quite a big impact on my life. I think he gave me the space to be myself in the working world. He never really judged me for how I looked or anything. It was all about the work side of things. Was I delivering what I needed to? And everything else was sort of just, okay, you're free to do things the way you want. He was also very open with his journey, his struggles, and what that showed me was that people are fundamentally flawed. And that's okay. As long as you are reflecting, learning, and growing, then I think you're in a good stead. So he's definitely someone that's had a big impact in my life.
It's as you said, it's not about being perfect. It's about growing and being on that journey all the time and accepting that we all have flaws and faults mm-hmm. and make mistakes, definitely. You know. And I think just having that one person, you know, if we all look around us, we all have somebody like that yeah. who's kind of that inspiration. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be Steve Jobs or yeah. Elon Musk or one of these guys. You know, exactly. For most of us, it's a lot closer, yeah. mm-hmm. closer That's to true. Home. Okay, so we've learned, you know, you're on this journey, you're an unconventional, out-the-box kind of person. But actually, maybe we should flip that around. I think we're all a little bit like that, but I think you've acted on that and you've lived that out. But have you ever faced any prejudice because of your approach? You know, I mean, it could be, we've spoken about this before. I think you had there was a LinkedIn post a while back where somebody commented about tattoos in the workplace, yeah. yeah. for argument's sake, you know, so... You know, have you ever had any prejudice, people kind of judging you before they've got to know you? And how have you dealt with that?
Yeah, so look, I'm acutely aware that having tattoos in the corporate environment is not the best look, especially over the last 10 years. I definitely think the sentiment is changing in the last couple of years. So it was important for me to understand that I knew what I was bringing. In terms of the way I look, understand that people are going to have biases towards it, but not dismiss those people out of hand. I think if you just come in shouting and screaming and wanting to be treated a certain way, it never changes anything. And so I think I made the decision to be who I'm going to be and understand that I'm going to have to work harder and being willing to do that. And so, yeah, definitely I've rocked up to meetings with my shirt rolled up and people are like, okay, like we don't trust you or we yeah. don't feel comfortable around you. I've had a CEO once of one company I worked for was not happy about one of the new tattoos I got that was visible, and yeah, that conversation didn't go down too yeah. well. But at the end of the day, I knew what I was bringing to the table, and I was confident that as long as I kept bringing my part, then things would be okay. And I think slowly then you start changing people's perceptions in a positive way. And I'd like to believe that I've made it easier for people coming through and changed some people's thinking. I've had some clients that really like it. They yeah. think it makes accounting less daunting. Or the yeah. finance side of things, more real. They want to be dealing with real people.
Yeah.
And so there's been a lot of positives as well. But yeah, overall, there's always going to be prejudice. It's just about how do we recognize it mm-hmm. and what is our approach to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, sorry, Saki. Yeah, sure. I mean, I think the other thing is, you know, and just to touch on this, you've worked with clients across different countries and that. Can you maybe just share a little bit about some of the sort of nuances and, you know, I mean, there's positives too, you know, in terms of working with clients in the US and Ireland and other parts mm-hmm. of the world, you know, how's that kind of shaped your, you know, your curiosity, your need for adventure and expression and all of that? I mean, is that important to you that you work with a diverse set of clients and countries?
Yes, it is. It's very important. I think understanding culture and people is what I like. I strongly believe that a business is just a manifestation of a person or people, and I really like to get to grips of understanding people, who they are, what makes them tick. So having access or ability to understand that on a global scale just makes everything so much more interesting.
Yeah,
I think being in the UK or being in Ireland or working with people from US, I always try to find information or research on where are they from, where did they go to university, what are the people like, so that when I'm having conversations or thinking about or talking about their business, I can relate a lot of that stuff to those things, and then also start picking up on what the cultural norms are in those places. I love seeing how Americans really direct, you know, they don't even say hi in an email, and that's something I had to get used to initially. Like, why are you being so rude?
But yeah.
That's just how they talk.
Yeah.
And I think seeing those things, having exposure to it, I mean, that's a small thing, but it just shows you how vast the world is.
Yeah.
And learning those different things also just makes you appreciate people for just who they are.
Who they are.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's putting yourselves in their shoes first and foremost. Mm-hmm. I think that's a theme that's come out in the whole conversation. So we've got a few minutes left, and I'm going to kind of leave you with the last question is, you know, what advice would you give to any, you know, aspiring solopreneurs, freedompreneurs, digital nomads, somebody who's thinking about this, you know, looking back over the last, look, it hasn't only been 9 months. I mean, you've formally had your own kind of business, but even prior to that, you were working in that kind of way. Definitely. But what advice would you give to somebody wanting to follow this kind of route?
Yeah, I think the first thing is get comfortable without job security. I think being in a corporate environment does give you a level of comfort. And so I think when things get turbulent, it's quite easy to panic. Mm-hmm. So try to find calmness in those times is a big thing, and probably the biggest thing I've had to learn over the last while. And then I think building a network is also really key. Mm. So tapping into what's happening in the industry with your peers. I think when you are in a corporate environment, there are people around you that are doing work all the time. There are workshops. There's all sorts of things happening where you're learning. And being by yourself, it can often feel like you're stagnating because you're not around that all the time. So I think having a network of people, whether it be on LinkedIn or just through friends that are doing similar things.
Co-working spaces, I guess, exactly, that sort of thing.
That's really important as well, is having that network to just keep you up to speed with what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so you're not feeling very isolated. I think... where was I there? The other thing that I mentioned before is just understanding what it is you're willing to sacrifice, what it is you want, and then set those boundaries for yourself. Mm. What are the things that you won't do? What are the things that you will do? Mm. What's the most important thing for you? And then how do you structure your business around that?
Yeah. Jean-Luc, I mean, I think it's fascinating. This is a topic of conversation you could go on for hours with, you know, and it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. As always, the time goes way too quickly. But thanks just for like sharing your story, a little bit of a sliver into the life of Jean-Luc. And, you know, hopefully it serves as inspiration to, you know, anyone listening today to say like this is a viable option. You know, if you're feeling stuck in a particular space, is understand who you are, understand what makes you tick. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about the money. It's about you know, your definition of success is family, spiritual, all those things combined. And I think, you know, you take that holistic view of what it means to be a successful person rather than being a successful businessman. Thank you, Jean-Luc.
Yeah, and I do truly appreciate how authentic you are. Like, really, you are really, really that, and you truly live that. And thank you so much for sharing your inspirational story. Learned some, you know, great nuggets there, life lessons that one can apply. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thanks, Aki. Thanks, Graham. It's been a pleasure.
It has been. And before we let you go, though, how can our listeners get a hold of you or the business if they'd like to stay in contact?
Yeah, so I'm not easy to get a hold of. I don't have social media outside of LinkedIn.
Okay.
So definitely LinkedIn is the easy one. Jean-Luc Johnston. There's not many with that combination of names around, so I think you'll find it easily. And then on my email, jeanluc@thirdadvisory.com without the hyphen.
Yeah, okay. Just that. Okay. We'll be working on those social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook.
Really want to engage with life in that way. I'm quite happy with the way things are at the moment.
Old soul.
I think somewhat.
Love it. Well, Graham, I'll be seeing you sometime in September.
Yeah, for the next couple of weeks, we'll be back. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you just missed it, do not worry. We will have it available as a podcast on, of course, our app. And that is how we wrap up Business Made Simple with Bizval.
It's Business Made Simple with Bizval, exclusively on In Season.